Support for Iditapod, a production of Alaska Public Media, comes from MVFCU. Experience the MVFCU way.
Brent Sass is back in Eureka after winning the 2019 Yukon Quest. It's his second victory in that race after winning in 2015. In 2012, he was the Iditarod Rookie of the Year, finished that race three times, and this year also took second in the Copper Basin 300. Brent's originally from Minnesota, moved to Fairbanks and lived out in Goldstream, and now lives out at Joe Bush Creek in Eureka, north of Fairbanks. Brent Sass joins us now. Thanks for being here, Brent.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Hey, I know this is a sort of a broad question, but tell me, how did you end up in Alaska originally, and how did you get into mushing?
Well, I ended up in Alaska. The short version is my grandma went on a cruise when I was 8 years old and brought back a bunch of pictures of Alaska and mountains and told my parents and my grandma right then and there that I wanted to move to Alaska when I grew up. And so I went to UAS and fell in love with the state immediately. And I was in Alaska for 5 years. I got into dogs, and it kind of happened quickly, just like everything else. I saw a dog team go by at my feet one day and said, I want to do that. And within about 6 months, I had my first dog, and the rest is history.
And you've raced a lot of races. You've raced a lot of Yukon Quests, and you had a reputation for rescuing other mushers. And if people want to learn more about that, they can definitely look for those stories out there. But I wanted to ask you to just, I guess, describe your race this year. It was a little different, I guess, with a sort of a rule change there at the beginning. Can you tell me kind of how overall your race went?
Yeah, I mean, this year's race was a little different than a lot of the races that I've had, you know, in the past 5 years. You know, I had a real competitive team starting back in 2014. And ever since then, I had, you know, my goal was to win the race. That was the idea when I went into it. I set that goal for myself and for my dog team. It was completely capable of it. And so this was a little bit different because I took a year off last year, and then I came into this race with a bunch of young dogs, a lot of dogs that had never raced before. 11 of them had never been in the Yukon Quest before. I only had 3 veterans. So I went into this race with really no expectation to have fun, have a clean race, take care of my dogs, and just focus purely on my team. And, you know, that's obviously everyone's ultimate goal. But as you get competitive, things become more and more, you know, difficult to do that. And that was my main goal. And coming in, you know, it kind of threw a wrench and everything, obviously, with that different start. You know, but we still focused on our goal for that race. And we kind of just rolled with the punches. And I'm grateful that the Yukon Quest made those changes in the beginning of the race. I know how from Braeburn to Carmax and how bad it would have been with the low snow. And I didn't pay attention to my competition at all. I didn't vary from my plan at all. I stuck right to it. Me and my buddy Mike Ellis and Josh Horst and my whole crew there kind of sat down before the race and made a real clear plan, based the second half completely on how that dog team looked when we got to Dawson. And everything came together. It's the short version of it. I stuck to that plan all the way to the finish line, and it brought us there in first place. It was definitely a magic carpet ride.
I think you said that after the 2015 win, that it was kind of a magic carpet ride. You had a dog, I guess, named Jeep. Is that right? Can you tell me about Jeep?
Yeah, Jeep was another one of the highlights of this race. He's a dog I got from my good buddy who passed away over a year ago now, Joey Reddington, Joe Reddington Jr. He print musher, and I go and drive dogs right through their place there, Manly, him and Pam's place, and would use it as a checkpoint. And he was, you know, still had dogs, still running dogs, wasn't in the racing scene as much, and so he, you know, really latched on to my kennel and just watching my career and watching, giving me lots of advice, helping as much as they possibly can. And he raised a bunch of dogs 4 years ago. And so after Joey passed away, I asked Pam if I could buy a Jeep from her, and I bought a Jeep. And he is now considered one of my main leaders. He excelled and was phenomenal in the race. I mean, 2 years ago, he had never run more than 16 miles at any given time. And he just completed a 1,000-mile, you know, sled dog race and was the champion. He led for 500 miles of the race. It was pretty epic. I was really fortunate to have him on the team, and I know that Joey's spirit was out there with us through Jeep.
Yeah, it was so cool hearing you talk about that at the finish, and really appreciate KUAC's coverage with Lex Trinan out there on the trail. What were some of the, it's a 1,000-mile race, but what were some of the more challenging moments that you had this year out there?
Usually, I have a list of about 20 things that were extremely challenging, and, I had 14 dogs the entire way. So, I'm bug-eyed on dogs the entire time. And, frankly, there really wasn't that many issues. I worked through a bunch of dog issues that I knew I could get through, and we didn't really have any super low points. It was one of those just amazing races. And I think most of that was because I relieved all the pressure on myself before I even started. And so we were just outrunning dogs, literally outrunning dogs. And it was a miracle team, I had 14 at the finish line, and they all could go run another 1,000 miles right now. Like, I got literally very little nicks and dings from 1,000 miles. So, I would say the most challenging part was probably that beginning part where we were loading dogs into the truck after 100 miles and trucking them. I didn't know how that was all going to go. But because they were a bunch of rookies, they didn't really know any different. It wasn't like there was a whole bunch of veteran dogs that were like, what the heck are we doing now? It didn't really ever throw them off that much, I don't think. And then my handlers did a really good job of taking care of the dogs that they were taking care of for those first 150 miles until I added them all back in. In general, I think that big change in the beginning, there was some stress involved around that, but the dogs handled it really well, and my team handled it really well. And the rest of the race was really just a lot of fun. I can honestly say that. I never put that extra stress on me.
Got guys like Josh Horst out there and Steve Stoller, and did you say Mike Ellis also was kind of on your team there?
Yeah, Mike has played a huge role. His efforts this year, Mike and Sue, were awesome. They didn't run the race this year, and so they basically took all their efforts and their energy and put it into my quest. And I went back and forth with Mike about schedule and stuff. He handled for me on the Copper Basin 300, so he got a good look at the dog team there. So we had good reference of being able to give me some good advice. And then his dog care is, world renowned, and he and my girlfriend Ida did all the dog care in Dawson. That was huge. I ate Sioux food the entire way. She made her amazing food for me, trail food. Really good support that led to this.
What kind of food are we talking?
She just makes this super high, energy stuff that's just really home cooked meals that they've just mastered what works really well for the cooker food. For vacuum sealing, how to vacuum seal it, how to pack it so it's really fresh when you actually get to eat. And it's just really, really good. We're talking lasagnas and like stroganoffs and just all kinds of amazing, amazing meals.
Making me hungry. Veteran.
Yeah, so those guys, I can't say enough about Mike and Sue, about everything they did for me during this race and the season, really. So they were definitely part of the team.
Super nice guy and Yukon Quest veteran. You said your dogs could have run another 1,000 miles, and I kind of remember back to 2015, and we were both in Tanana, and the Iditarod disqualified you over having an iPod, which is like a rule change that they've changed now to make that allowed. And you just won the Yukon Quest. I guess the last time you were in the Iditarod had kind of a rough go at the end. And I just, I got to ask, are you thinking about coming back to the Iditarod at some point?
I definitely am. And there's a really good chance it'll happen next year. All that stuff, it's all part of my history and past, and it had its positives and negatives, I definitely love the Iditarod Trail. The trail itself is an amazing trail to travel on. The conditions are awesome. The competition is, obviously the best in the world. And so it's going to be hard to keep me away from there for a long time. And I think they're starting to get things straightened out there at Iditarod as well. So, I think you'll see me back in the Iditarod for sure, maybe as soon as next year.
I still want to ask you about this rule change that, you know, using an electronic device that you weren't even using for outside communication, now they're fully allowing outside communication. What do you think of all that stuff?
I think I just had to be the one that, you know, flipped the coin. I think people saw it as a completely irrational thought after I got DQ'd, and that helped this rule change, forced it through. I mean, in the end, and I don't want to be able to say that I was an example, but I think that in the end it was what happened to me that ended up forcing the hand for them to change that rule. I think it was, yeah, the rule is what it is. I didn't feel any, I mean, it definitely made me made my eyebrows rise and made my heart beat a little faster for a split second. But then I thought, okay, good, they fixed that. You know, I don't dwell on that stuff for too long. The whole situation was a real bummer, but I'm over it. I got over it pretty quickly, and luckily I had lots of support around that whole deal. And I think in the end, I think that gave me a bigger fan base, and how I dealt with it was the right way to do it. I look at that as maybe even a positive thing in my career. You live and learn, and it's how you deal with things is the most important thing.
I guess some of the other controversies, do you think those kind of things, have they discouraged mushers from racing in the Iditarod? They have kind of a smaller field this year. It's still a lot more than the Yukon Quest, but did any of that other stuff kind of discourage you, or do you think other mushers?
Yeah, I think it definitely discourages people. I mean, it's never a good thing when your peers are accused of doping their dogs and deny it, and it turns into a big debacle. That's never a good thing. But I think, like anything, we're all going to get through it. I think that they're making the positive changes that need to be made. I think that there's still lots of work to do, but I think we're going to get through it as a sport and as a profession. I think that all of us just want what's best for the dogs, and I think that's we're on the way to doing that. And I did it on the Yukon Quest at a year this year, and I think we all just as individuals have to support our sport and stand behind each other and be as positive as we can about the whole thing, because there's a lot of naysayers out there that we have to make sure that we don't give a window in.
So you were saying that you're going to probably be back next year. You think in the Iditarod?
Potentially, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's. I mean, I got a good dog team, and these guys are all young, and you know, they're ready to rock and roll. So it'd be foolish of me not to take advantage of it. If being a competitive dog musher is what I'm going to be, I need to seize the opportunity and race these dogs. So. But there's a lot of logistics. There's a lot of stuff that has to fall into place before I can make that happen. You know, this is just what I'm thinking, you know, 2 weeks or a week after I just won the Yukon Quest. Yeah, I'm fired up and ready to go. I wish I was in Iditarod this year. But that's not the right thing for my dog team. So, it's about being patient, doing what's right for my kennel and my dog team. And I feel like right now I'm setting a goal to run the Quest in Iditarod next year. And hopefully we make that happen.
And then this spring, you said it sounds like there's some expeditions coming up. Is your racing season done and it's pretty much expeditions?
Yeah, I'm going to race the Two Rivers 200, mainly just for fun. See, I've only run that race one time in my career. It's never really worked out for me to run it. So it got postponed this year and is back in March now. So I'm going to run that just for fun with these guys. And then, yeah, most of our attention is getting put towards tours and expeditions. We'll be at the end of March, we'll be heading up north to the Arctic, and I'll be living up in the Arctic for the whole month of April, doing expeditions and tours out of a base camp up there. So, yeah, I got to make some money with the dogs, you know. I made a little bit of money with the Quest, but that might cover the race. Now it's time to put some money in the bank. And so these expeditions and tours, I love doing it, and it's great for the dogs. And going up and living in the Arctic for a whole month, it's pretty hard to beat.
Imagine you're going to be wearing some shades up there this spring.
Yep, that's the best part. Sun's out all the time. It's like dog mushing in the summertime with snow. It's great. It's a pretty amazing place up there. And yeah, we're pretty excited about the month ahead.
Okay, well, last question. I don't want to put you on the spot too much, but who do you think is going to win the Iditarod this year?
Oh, man. You know, I don't know. I think that it's going to be a fun race to watch. I think that, I mean, I'll you know, lay out, I think the person who runs their own race is going to win the race. And there's a lot of guys out there that are capable of doing that. There's a lot of, you know, Nick Pettit, Jesse Holmes, yours obviously in the mix. I mean, there's so many. I can't even start mentioning the names that could be in the top spot. You know, Jeff King. You can never count Jeff King out. It's part of Iditarod. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. But I got my money on one of those young guns. I would say that your or Nick or Jesse. Any of those guys are going to be fighting for that spot, but I think the guy who runs his own dog team is going to end up prevailing.
It's a good answer. It's like some people would just not give you an answer, but I like that. Yeah, I think that's a good three. If you had to pick three, it's a good three.
Yeah, you know, we'll see. I could be totally wrong, but that's who I got my money on.
Right on. Well, Brent.
Money on it, but
to be clear.
To be clear, that's who I would have my money on, but I don't have enough money to be putting money on dog races.
Yeah, me neither. It's fun to bet with pretend money, though, I guess. So.
Yeah, totally.
Well, Brent, thanks for being here. I appreciate talking to you, man.
Yep, no problem. No problem at all.